Jahni Broome is back. And on the second day in the row, the Auburn Daily Show is booging hard. You heard it yesterday with Charlie Five on Top Button. We got to talk about this even further. We got Auburn Daily writer Andrew Stefaniak with us today, bringing the heat as always. And we're going to talk about this huge news, but not only just how big this news is with Jahni coming back to Auburn, but really kind of where Auburn is sitting compared to the rest of the SEC right now. That's going to be the big angle I'm going to take with the show. And Andrew, who does some other SEC coverage outside of Auburn, I could not think of a better person to talk about this because you are very plugged into the happenings of the rest of the SEC. So, Andrew, Jahni coming back. Just tell me, like, where were you in that moment? Like, just emotionally, physically, all the things.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I had heard some things. I had heard. I thought he was coming back. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. You know, we've all been there. You fall in love with a player, and then they just take your heart. They reach in there, and they grab it, and they take it out, and they smash it when they declare for the NBA draft. And not a player like a Jabari Smith. Hey, dude, you go be a top three pick. A player like Broome, where, like, I don't think the NBA is going to come calling. It makes sense for you to come back. I didn't want to get excited about it until I saw him announce the news. I, despite the things I heard, I didn't believe it. I did not believe it until I saw him tweet, four is back. And, you know, a conversation could be had, Alex. I mean, when was the last Auburn player like this? In basketball, I can't think of one. Every player where you're like, man, if he comes back, Sharif, Kessler, Jabari, you know, players like this. Man, if this guy comes back.
Chuma, Isaac.
Yeah, Chuma Isaac. Yeah, if these players come back, it's over for the rest. Yeah, and they never come back.
There was one point, and I did it, and I can't remember exactly what it would have been, but like this last season, like the team that Auburn theoretically could have had if like all these guys that went pro had stayed, and it was just like, including that COVID year, I mean, it was like, oh, that would have been one of the best like teams of all time. Like it would have been freaking crazy with how much talent. I mean, and that's in theory, if you could convince guys that were starters now to ride the bench. I mean, it's all a theoretical super team, but like technically, if you had it, it was like, whoa. Like, not only would that be like, if you picked everybody, one of the best like Auburn teams of all time, it like in theory, like would have been able to like happen at the same time. So crazy that that was a thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so I was going to some of these games, shooting them, just being there. And, you know, I love me some Jahni, don't get me wrong. And I'm kind of going through this, like, existential, like, emotional crisis of, like, you know what? Like, this is going to be, like, I'm mentally preparing myself. Like, this is, you know, late February, early March. I mean, this is going to be one of, like, the very last, like, few games I'm going to get to see Jahni play in an Auburn uniform. Because we saw what he did last year. He tested the waters, did very, very well pro scouting. There was, you know, maybe some draft, maybe some G League. I mean, lit it up. Now, Jahni's situation is kind of tough because at the league's level, he's kind of undersized for a five. Does he really have all the athletic versatility to play the four? Obviously, he would work on his three. So there was stuff that he needed to work on. And shout out Charlie Five yesterday because I did not realize this on Top Button, but you can only test your waters in the draft process twice, which Broome had already done. So I didn't know. You couldn't do that for a third time. That's why we have guys like Charlie Five to, you know, teach us these things. Shout out Top Button Podcast. Make sure to check it out on this channel if you are listening on YouTube. And if not, a podcast, Top Button Podcast. But that had to been a huge factor for what Broome was going to do. Well, let's look at another thing. We know the G League Ignite had been one of Auburn's sworn enemies. The nemesis of Auburn. Well, the G League Ignite got shut down. That's huge because there were many players that we felt very good were coming to Auburn till that whole situation happened. And a big reason for that was NIL. Mm-hmm. So big Auburn dub. Well, you still have the G League itself kind of dabbing the waters going pro. But the thing is G League salaries for the most part, Andrew, as we got talked about off air, not a ton of money.
No.
It seems to be that the college ranks of NIL for a lot of players can bolster probably far larger funds. There's more money to be made at the NCAA level than G League. So it kind of makes sense unless you don't think. Now, I'm sure playing in top tier schools overseas, you can make a lot of money, but being away from family and all that, to me, I feel like kind of weighted that to staying in college. I'll stay in college. And if overseas is an option, you can still make really, I would encourage anybody out there, you still make really, really good money, hundreds of thousands, some places, millions of dollars a year playing overseas. So I've always found it odd where people like would insult people playing overseas. Like that was some type of insult. Like I would never walk up to anybody who is making like six, five, seven, eight, nine, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? Like, ha, you're poor. Like that's stupid. Don't ever do that. That's dumb. That's not a diss. Like it's a really good career. A lot of guys, I mean, you're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to play sports. No matter where in the planet you're doing it, that's still sick. So, you know, the fallback plan is still going to be one that's going to put you in the one percentiles of earners on the planet. So
yeah. Like, look at this. I looked this up. Basketball players make, it's like average salary for different countries. Germany, 225K, Japan, 210K, Australia, 185K, Taiwan, 180K. Like,
and that's not even the best of the guys. Like, I mean, assuming that if Broom,
that's median, that's like a median.
Yeah. Assuming that Broom didn't have a future in the NBA, I would have a pretty good feeling he'd be one of the top players overseas, probably making in the top hundreds of thousands, not millions a year. Cause I mean, feel pretty confident he'd light it up. Now, obviously if he does have a future in the NBA after the season, we know what kind of money that looks like. So regardless, that is huge. I mean, essentially, this can sound kind of like cliche, but like that's basically like Auburn keeping an NBA player.
Yeah.
His stats out of this world.
All American.
Where I feel, yeah, the numbers so far, where I feel that Broom is now, I feel where Auburn is now with Broom, the ceiling for this upcoming season got, when I say exponentially higher, it is the ceiling with the Broom and the rest of the guys on the team, it is championship. And I know there's going to be a lot of Bama fans. I can't wait. Just go ahead and comment Yale on the comments. Yale. Ha, ha, ha. You know, just say it. We got the meme, Yale. They literally, Alabama fans, for those that are on Twitter, this is like the little brother syndrome for basketball. So incredible. that's a great prop. I wish I had one handy. Just keep that. Ready for the show.
Where's yours? Come on.
I don't have one. For those that listen on podcasts, Andrew's holding a broom, like an actual broom. That's awesome.
Don't ask why it's next to me, but go ahead.
When Alabama lost to UConn, rather than like, oh, it's our first Final Four, this is awesome, like proud of this team, they just, Yale was trending nationally on Twitter. It was the 17th highest trending word on Twitter or subject. Because so many Bama fans were so butthurt. Rather than like talk about the accomplishments that their team did, which in all honesty, I've said it before. I mean, losing in the Final Four by a double digit loss Final Four like doesn't count. Like that's I wouldn't brag about it because my team's never done that. You know, it's pretty embarrassing there. So I guess rather than look back at that, it was talking about So the little brother syndrome is there. But regardless, if you know anything about anything, like that was an anomaly. And here's the thing about it. Good teams, great teams get upset in March. That is the beauty of March Madness. We'd love to see it. And you know what? Great teams also bounce back. So Kentucky isn't going to sit there and fold it. Well, maybe they have because they've done it multiple years in a row. But Purdue, for example, when they got upset season before last, they went to the championship. So you know what? Yeah, Auburn got upset as a 4 seed. They shouldn't have lost that game. Well, you know what? They'll be back. Hopefully they'll be a 4 seed or higher next season. I feel pretty confident that they will be, assuming everybody stays healthy. You typically, unless you're Kentucky, I'm not trying to dog Kentucky here, it's just facts, you're not going to get upset like that 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Now, Kentucky did. But also, too, on the flip side, UConn won it 2 years in a row. That is not super common either, unless you're Florida, once, with Billy Donovan. So, Broom, and I want to say this, Broom is that kind of player. And if you look at any advanced stats, you look at KenPom, you look at Evan Maya, that's M-I-Y-A, one of my new favorites, advanced stats sites. Broom is killing it across the board. And all these guys that were above him in these advanced stats, I'm not sure exactly how many of them are going pro or how many are coming back because just with COVID years, we don't really know like what that even means anymore. Like senior, does it mean seniors at COVID, seniors at redshirt, super COVID? I don't know. I'm so happy we're next year. It just means what it's supposed to mean. Broom legitimately from a stats returning productivity standpoint should be a top 3-4 player, maybe 2 some marks. And that the crazy part is that's only playing like 24 minutes a game. I feel pretty confident we're going to see 30 plus minutes out of Broom every game because kind of float between that 4 and 5 deal. That's been rumored out there. But the crazy part about that is those guys that are above Broome are all playing those high minutes and Broome isn't. So just imagine what his numbers could look like with 6 or 7 extra minutes a game.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
It's going to be really scary what Broome does next year. And I mean, this team as a whole is going to be veteran. It's going to be really, really good. And, you know, a conversation we ought to have is like, are you pro or are you anti Broome playing the four?
Yeah, I mean, that has been tossed around from a lot of different, you know, that has kind of been tossed around. I know Justin Hokanson reported on this a few weeks ago, kind of the first to sort of get that chatter out there with On Three about, hey, potentially could see that happening. Heard from a lot of other avenues as well. So you feel pretty good that that has been in conversation. I think it kind of goes a few reasons for that. One, I think from a professional development standpoint, like him going pro, having a little bit more versatility, because you can change a lot of aspects on your game. You can't make yourself grow taller. Yeah. Broome is a freaking tall guy, but unfortunately, compared to those in the NBA, I want to say somebody did this stat, and that would make him, it was like the second or third. Do not quote me on this at all. I'm just citing this from memory. It could be completely wrong, but I want to say somebody said it would make him like the second or third, like shortest big in the league.
If he only be bigger than Draymond Green, pretty much.
Okay, so it was the second.
I'm a pretty big NBA guy, and I can't think of another starting center. It depends if he's really 6'10". If he's 6'10", which I don't know. If he's really 6'9", then yes, he's probably the second, or you know, he's one of the bottom. If he's 6'10", he's probably tied with some guys. But if he's 6'9", yeah, he's one of the shortest.
So quintessential perfect size for a four in the NBA. So it's sort of like, is he going to try to do that to see? But does some of the other aspects of his game and athleticism translate over to that position? We'll kind of have to see. He obviously, with the feedback he got last season, he got his three-point shot up there.
Yeah, he did.
And hopefully he continues to develop that. He got his free throws better. So does he work on a little bit more ball movement? Does he get his mid-range, do we see a little bit more mid-range shots out of him? And obviously the mid-range shot is just like completely going away at all levels of the game. So how much does that really matter? But I personally, I know Sonny Smith won't agree with me, nothing gets me more hype than like a mid-range like fadeaway jumper that just drains net. Because you know it just pisses off the other team beyond belief.
Yeah.
When they see that go in, like that is statistically the worst shot in basketball. Mm-hmm. And you just drained it and you got 2 points you shouldn't have gotten. I think that's why I love it. I'm team. Obviously, I'm no NBA scout here, but I love a good old
mid-range.
Yeah, a little mid-range jumper.
Well, I'm a little bit anti Broome at the four, and I'll tell you why. How many now? Shout out to Broome for how well he shot. First of all, it seems like he made a clutch three like every game. I mean, he did it a lot.
Other teams let him have it.
And
I was like, what are y'all thinking? He's like shooting in the high 30s, but let's go.
That's my concern, okay? You know, Jalen Williams, who was Auburn's four a year ago, he could make threes with a hand in his face. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a better shooter than Jedi Broome. This isn't debate. In my opinion, that's a fact. Broome, when he is open, is a 40% shooter. I think he can be. I think if he shoots 200 threes next year, 150 threes next year, I think he has a chance to shoot 40% open. But if you're playing the four, they're probably going to respect your ability to shoot the three ball a little bit more and guard you in your face a little bit more. I don't think he's going to have as many open threes.
But and
when Broome would make it, the only time he'd make a contested three was when he'd kind of like have the ball down at his feet, you know, kind of like, I'm going to make a move, I'm going to dribble. And then he'd just rise up and shoot. He'd make those contested some, but like a lot of his threes were wide open. And that is my concern with Broome playing the four is, can he make contested shots? He of course made a few last year. I'm not saying he literally made zero contested shots, but he didn't make them at a super high clip. So can he come in and just be a knockdown contested shooter? I'm not fully convinced of that. And I'm also of a believer, you ever heard the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Fix it. Now, I'm a harp on this one little time. Yeah. Here. I think another move of that kind of four deal is one to get him and Dylan more minutes.
Yeah.
I think that could be important because you're convincing Dylan to stay. Hey, here's some more minutes. Broom obviously is going to get more minutes anyway. So if they rotate that around, and maybe it's a deal to where it would be really hard to recruit somebody to come in and play that position, wedge behind Chaney or wedge behind him. So is it going to be a deal to where you have Dylan is like the five, and then you have Chaney at the four, and then Broom kind of plays sort of this fluid between them to get his minutes kind of back them up. And then maybe you have, if Simo comes back, which I don't believe has been announced yet, if Chris Moore comes back, does he kind of play this 3-4 hybrid in minute or foul trouble type situations? And you know me, I'm team Simo for certain reasons. Not won't talk about it too much this episode, something that we're here about, but it'll be interesting to see what they do there. And we've already kind of talked about the scholarships. Don't want to get into that. We'll probably get another episode on that next week to see what the scholarship deal looks like, because if not, we'll be having an episode over an hour. But a lot of key factors there. I think I agree with you in the sense there could be some don't fix it, it's not broke. But Broom has gotten better at other aspects year over year. Yeah. I feel that with a full offseason to prepare whatever they want to do, he will rise to the occasion to make it work.
Yeah.
For me, it is just my only downside. I'm sure he could do it. It's just with those extra minutes. Like, was part of his success due to the fact that he was so well rested because he had that extra time? We'll see. I just don't want it to be a detriment to where he's worn out because he's playing all those minutes. And when I say worn out, like, not that you're going to see this, oh, wow, drop off, he's out of shape. More of just, was he more electric? Did he have more of that energy? Because, I don't know, we'll see.
I think when you play the five, you know, you're guarding somebody who's down low. When you're guarding, like, the two guard, like, if you're Denver Jones, you're running around on defense the whole time following your guy that's running, trying to get open. When you're playing the five, you're just kind of standing there with some 6'11" dude. True. You know, so but I now, think he's not going to – you don't get as tired defending. Now, this isn't always the case, but you don't get as tired defending at the five as you do defending at the two. You're not guarding Curry. You're guarding, you know, Clint Capella. Like, it's like he's not moving around quite as much. You're right about that, but I don't think that an extra 6 minutes would.
I don't think so either.
It's a good point.
Intrusive thought. But here's the other thing when you said about the deal about him shooting the three, and I think this is an interesting defensive factor. I'm sure the coaches and the analysts can really pull this up on film to see how it affects the other team. But when Broom is out there pulling up for a three, a 6'1 guard isn't exactly going to be a matchup that's going to hinder him from making that shot.
Yes.
You're going to have to pull a 4 or 5 or somebody big out there to get him up there out of position. And so does that do one of two things, either leave him open for the shot or get somebody out of position where Broom can facilitate a pass, get an assist to dump it off to somebody else. So it'll be interesting to see if they do make that more the game plan, how defenses have to react to that, because that's one of those reasons why bigs are so efficient shooting from deep when they can. Like Chet Holmgren was really good at it, because a guard isn't really going to be effective guarding him because he's almost a foot taller than them. So before he even jumps to get in the air, I mean, it's just – you're jumping, you're still like fingertips are at the ball. So,
yeah.
I want to get to our next subject here about the talks of the SEC. Before we do that, I want to do the first ever double ad read. You ready for this? This is gonna be the best ad read I just came up with.
Let's try.
So, plainscoffee.com. You know that 10% promo code you get for putting the word Auburn in at checkout? Get 10% off that super fresh Plains coffee shipped right to your house. Andrew, you said you restocked recently. You're a coffee guy, right?
Huge coffee guy. Restocked. Plains Coffee, when they sponsored the show, I said, I got to order me some. And man, it was good. I just restocked. Really, really good coffee. Good prices. You got to go check them out.
So here's the best thing that you could do with that Plains Coffee. Like when you wake up, you get that energy. Maybe you want a little midday energy. Well, nothing is more electric than comboing Plains Coffee with a Rage Room. Mm-hmm. You get that energy. You get that hype. You get that super tasteful Plains Coffee. My dogs are excited about it, as you can hear. Yeah, they love Rage Rooms and coffee. Like, most dogs don't like coffee. Mine do.
There you go.
Hey, guys, y'all excited for coffee? Okay. They're going to go bark at the mailman now. Well, that's a great segue there, because the Rage Rooms, that's where those dogs need to go every time they see the mailman or the UPS guy. Well, drink your Plains Coffee. If you're in the Auburn, Opelika area, or in the Birmingham area, you get two Rage Rooms right there, Birmingham and Opelika Rage Room. Go get your Plains Coffee. go get Ace. The mug you drank the coffee in, you can put it on the table when you're done and you can smash it with a hammer. Mm-hmm. Like, what a better combo to do than that? Smash your mug in a place to do it, smash all the other things, play some angry hot music, have a blast with friends, family, date night by yourself, whatever it may be. Go to the websites, social medias, check them out. It is a blast. Oh, you got your broom?
I mean, because I was thinking I could smash stuff with it out of excitement about Janai Broom returning at the Rage Room. It's just,
You go to the Rage Room because you pumped up. I mean, hype up for the broom. And the best part is you got the broom. That's a great addition there. You don't have to clean up the mess. I mean, you can rage, you can break stuff at your house, but you got to clean it up. You don't do that.
Exactly. Well,
you go, you get to destroy all the things, make the mess. You know what? You don't have to clean it up. It is the best. So, guys, check out our sponsors, Oplagra, Birmingham Rage Room, and of course, Plains Coffee. Get that 10%. We'll get you free stuff here. Use that 10% code Auburn at checkout, and then tell them the Auburn Daily Show sent you at both the Rage Rooms. They'll get you a free bucket of stuff to break. So, guys, we're looking out for y'all, getting all the free stuff. So, Andrew, let's talk about this SEC outlook. What our title is, and we've already talked about the hype of broom. We had to book it out, but how good are we feeling about the SEC? Auburn's position in the SEC right now compared to other schools.
Well, I'll tell you that
other schools, you know, like you already kind of know how some of these other guys are looking like.
And I basically, you know, having covered Kentucky basketball, now that I kind of cover Arkansas because I know exactly what their team's going to look like based on what Kentucky team's going to look like. But so I can tell you. Arkansas and Kentucky right now, they might give us a phone call about an open tryout. I'm kidding, but they you know, their rosters are empty. They are getting guys. Now, Cal's going to more than likely bring a good amount of his guys from his Kentucky recruiting class to Arkansas.
Because he brought all his coaches, didn't he?
He what? Yes. He brought all his coaches, except there's one that might stay in Lexington.
You probably know the guy's name. I saw there was a high school recruit that a big-time guy decommitted from Kentucky.
They all did. The whole class did. The entire class is going to Arkansas, except for this one kid might go to Louisville, which is a little weird. But the only kid that's staying in the class is a four-star that's from Kentucky. That's the only Kentucky recruit staying in the class. So everything related to Kentucky is going to Arkansas. The Big Z guy already committed to Arkansas. You're going to see all that happen. Kentucky, you're going to see the new coach, Mark Pope, go get guys in the portal. So the point here is – to this point, you give me a team that's had a better offseason than Auburn. I mean, I don't like losing Trey Donaldson, but aside from that, Holloway and
Trey, Johnson, I mean, technically Trey could still come back.
I know the coaches want him. It looks like he's going to Michigan.
I mean, that seems to be the chatter. But I mean, if things didn't work out, I mean, you know, you never know. Portal's
Right. No, you're right. But
KD, when this releases, I think KD will be committing. But Aiden's visiting Alabama as a recording.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, because I know we talked about the last episode about guys falling up, and that hasn't really been, minus Donovan Mitchell going to Baylor, there hasn't really been another player that transferred from Auburn that we really look like, dang, they did better. So
yeah,
it's like a double-edged sword. It's like we want to wish the guys best of luck, but it's like you don't want to see them do better. So it's like a
– can you imagine Aiden Holloway coming into Neville Arena next year wearing crimson?
Yeah, if we thought Flan was bad, this would be a.
And Flan was at least like, okay, he went with his dad. This would be like, wow, I would not want to be him. I would not.
That would be ridiculous. But sorry, I interrupted your thought. You talk about Kentucky, you talk about Arkansas, Auburn being in the best position right now
because nobody else has a roster. I mean, people like this is we will redo this conversation in 2 weeks, and it'll be different. But I mean. When it comes to who's had the best offseason, Auburn got their All-American back. Who else? I mean, I don't know about Dalton Connect's, you know, eligibility situation, but hey, he isn't walking back through the door at Tennessee. You're not, you know, like Antonio Reeves isn't coming back to Lexington. A lot of these people are moving on, and Broom is back. I think Sears is going to test the NBA waters. I wonder what he'll do if he'll be back at Bama. I don't really know his eligibility situation. I know he still has a year at least, but point is,
I'm sure, as much as I hate to say it, I'm sure they will throw so much money at him. Unless
I feel like he'll end up back at Bama. Yeah, unless they Kansas calls and he's like, okay, I'll go there for $2 million. But like,
but he didn't announce that he was in the portal, though. He just said it was the NBA.
Yeah, you think Kansas cares?
Yeah, true. But the thing is is, I mean, you know, they will do it. But I want to look at some of the teams. You already kind of mentioned it, the top teams in the SEC this year. We kind of mentioned the deal with Tennessee. Now, is Ziegler coming back? Does he have another year?
I believe he is. He's pretty sure he's only going to be a senior or a junior. He's also like 5'4", so he's not going to be an NBA player.
Yeah, and he didn't really, yeah, he had that flash a few years ago, but it really wasn't like.
Yeah, he'll be a true senior this year. He'll be a true senior this season.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it. Tennessee does not win the SEC without Dalton Connect. And unless they just find another just like absolute diamond in the rough in the portal again.
Yeah.
Like no one saw that one coming.
You know, maybe and they Rick lost Barnes that Adu, their big man Adu, who I think is a damn good player. I like Adu. He hit the portal. So, I mean, they're, you know, and then Connect's gone. Adu hit the portal. I mean, Viscovi has got to be out of eligibility. I don't know that for a fact. I mean, that dude is 27. And then, I mean, so I don't know what Tennessee – I haven't seen their recruiting class. I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure – I mean, Rick Barnes hit a grand slam last year in the portal with Connect, so what's to say he won't do it again? But they're going to definitely be rebuilding.
They got to do that. They'll look at the teams that came in second with Auburn. South Carolina, I'm not sure about South Carolina's situation, but honestly, South Carolina wasn't – I mean, Auburn took care of business against them.
They were a one – they were the Macarena. They were a one-hit wonder. I use that joke too much. But
yeah,
I'm pretty sure I've used it here before. I forget where I've used that. But, Meechie Johnson hit the portal. He was probably their best player. I like that Murray Boyles kid, but, like, he's not going to win you anything. They're going to be – South Carolina will be a – over 500 team in SEC play, but they're not going to be someone that
probably they're not going to probably tie for second again. I agree with that. Yeah.
So, and then A&M, they lose Wade Taylor. I mean, it's like Florida is the team to talk about, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like Kentucky's roster's decimated. Alabama, as of right now, it seems like it's Nate Oates and Grant Nelson. They've had, I think, 5 players enter the portal. And then I think that's not including the fact that Sears is testing the waters in the NBA. I know they got that one guy from Pepperdine. I can't remember if they got another transfer in or not.
I do think he was pretty good.
I think he's a guard for Pepperdine. I mean, as long as he's going to just hawk up threes and not play defense, he'll be great under Nate Oates' system. And it's funny because his defensive numbers at Pepperdine were actually like pretty bad. So it was like almost like the jokes write themselves. His offensive numbers were great. So it's just the way Nate Oates' play works and it gets the right players. It's the same story it was.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's like they made the Final Four because they had the path of just gold paved for them, but like they still were probably the fifth worst team or the fifth best team in the SEC. So it's like even if they come back as good as they were last year, I still don't think that puts them top three in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing about March. I mean, you get the right matchups. And I will say this, like Alabama's path to the Final Four was easier than Auburn's path in the SEC tournament. People can get at me all they want, but just saying, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Minus North Carolina. I mean, it was just, and Clemson was like, came in what, fifth in the ACC? Like, Clemson's not anything. They were kind of a one. It's just heating up at the right time in matchups. But you're right. I want to circle Florida. Todd Golden is a good coach, young, up and coming star. Can't believe he didn't end up at Kentucky. I kind of saw that as being the dark horse. I know you did too. Said that off the air, but I'm not exactly sure who Florida has. Because like I said, you check the roster, it says seniors. You don't really know what that means unless you have to go.
I think they're going to have that Clayton. I think Clayton and Pullen are both going to be back. Mm-hmm. Walter Clayton and that right there. And don't quote me on that. That, you know, I don't do much Florida stuff, but I mean that those two guys back right there is the backbone. The Han Logton kid, we all saw what happened to him. There's no way that dude plays basketball this year. Right.
Oh, I mean, yeah. The guy that had the unfortunate injury against Auburn.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, clearly, but I don't know.
Well, let me say, I think that was his tibia that broke. Mm-hmm. Somebody that actually has had a similar break to that. I was in a wheelchair for 4 months. Mm-hmm. I had a cast up to my thigh. Now, granted, I let it heal naturally. He may have gotten a rod in, which could have expedited that healing. It's a really tough injury to come back. I was like having to learn how to walk again. So, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, if he's playing basketball, I mean, obviously I wish the best for the kid. I'm not trying to speak ill here, but it's got to really speak to the nature of those type of injuries. Like,
yeah,
that's a really tough thing to heal from. And obviously I hate it for the kid. We never want to see anybody have something like that happen to them. But
no, and he was Auburn recruited tough. Him. He was a good dude. Yeah, I you hate it. Or not yeah, that you wouldn't hate it for him if he wasn't, but he's a good kid. You hate
to brutal, see that. Brutal to see. A&M, I mean, Buzz, it's yeah, I know you cover A&M too, but like it's Buzz is the most fascinating coach to me in the world and kind of what his teams do. Like they finished 50% in the SEC, but like you feel like they were kind of better than that. But yeah. I feel like you kind of say that for Buzz's teams like every year, where it's just like they just never seem to get over that hump, which is weird because yeah. It's like I wonder how long Texas A&M will put up for that before they let him go. Do you know what the roster of the situation is like for them at A&M?
I mean, it's nothing special. Wade Taylor hit the portal. Boots Radford, I'm pretty sure, is out of eligibility. It's going to be a lot of transfer portal guys. And then it's just going to be buzz ball, you know, offensive rebounds, hustle. I think they're going to be, once again, I think they're going to be like South Carolina. It'll be a good basketball team, but nothing like Auburn, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Florida. They're like, oh, there's Texas A&M. Now, I know Auburn had their issues with Texas A&M, but I'm hoping they got that off their back last year beating them. So, A&M will be a concern.
I think LSU is still recovering. I mean, Mississippi State.
Yeah. Mississippi State's a basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, they can be.
Hubbard kids back?
Yeah, it's one of those. Oh, God, yeah. It's one of those deals. Like, Mississippi State's one of those teams. Like, you play them on the road, you got, like, you know, circle the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to have enough steam to necessarily do it in the SEC. And as you said, over the coming weeks, when we see what everybody's rosters actually looks like,
yeah,
we could completely redo the situation. But the point here is how it looks right now and about Auburn being in the best shape. Ole Miss losing guys. It's Chris Beard. Never know what they're going to do. They don't have their guy Flanagan. Arkansas being toward the bottom with Cal is really interesting. They have predicted now that guard from Duke is going to Missouri, which is crazy. Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. I still think Georgia's kind of stuck being Georgia. And not to say that Mike White can't get that stuff right. I just don't know if it's going to be next year. So where we're at here is, I mean, Auburn essentially has, unlike most of these other teams, their roster ready to go. And not only their roster, but their good championship caliber roster that should be bolstered even stronger, which I don't think any other SEC team can say that as of right now. Where other guys are trying to play portal musical chairs.
And you've got a base.
Coaching things figured out. Auburn, yeah.
Players that have been around. And I'll tell you this. I as I said a minute ago, I'm a Donaldson fan, but Pegues is an upgrade from both of the point guards you had last year.
Right. And my issue with both point guards, and like I said, I love Trey's game. Trey, I think it was the Evan Moy, the glue guy stat, where when he was in the game, the team was better. It was very efficient minutes. But where I think both struggled was the clutch. When it got to be crunch time, when it was time to put the team on your back, you just didn't necessarily feel like – now, Trey was good in those moments because he had ice water through his veins. He didn't necessarily screw up, which there's a lot to be said for that. Don't get me wrong. But there wasn't a whole lot of – he's driving to the rim. He's drawing that foul. He's getting that bucket. He's hitting that clutch three. We just didn't see it a lot out of them.
Yeah.
In the games you need it. Because the thing about it is, like, when you're beating a team about, you know, Auburn has so many double-digit wins, it's kind of like, does it really matter? But in those tough losses,
I feel like we lost every game like that. Where it was like, if we can just clutch up for 1 minute, we'll win this game. The only game was the Texas A&M game where it was close in the last 2 minutes. We clutched up. We ended up beating them double digits, I believe, because the free throws. But, like, that was the only close, late couple minutes game at all. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, it really feels like every game like that where it was back and forth in the last couple minutes, we lost.
I think it was that game. It was either A&M or LSU. It was one of the two where it had a similar deal. Auburn's beating the brakes, and they kind of weasel it in there. And it was like, I want to say it was one of those two games where they made, like, three or four three-point shots, like, back to back to back to back.
And it was just like that was A&M because was it LSU A&M? I think we were steamrolling LSU the entire game, but then they went on a little run at the very end. They made it like a 13-point game, but then we ended up winning by like 14-15. I was never close. I think it was the A&M game.
Yeah, I mean, A&M played some physical basketball. I'll be honest, I did not want to play A&M again in the tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I didn't love that matchup. You know, tournament buzz is that's buzz. SEC tournament buzz is buzz at his best.
He loves
I
Nashville. Didn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he does love Nashville. I did not. The three-piece suit agrees with him the most in Nashville. Didn't want to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to see how – because I think at these teams doing the roster reset, getting the culture right, I mean, at the very best case scenario, a lot of that's probably some rebuilding.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of like super high profile program changing guys in the portal at this moment that you're like, if that guy, like, what is pretend like if Janai entered the portal?
Yeah.
Like if Janai enters the portal, like, okay, whoever gets him, circle that team.
Yeah.
Like I don't think there's a ton of guys that are in the portal that are like that type of game changing portal guy. I believe. Let me see who your top players are in the portal right this moment as we record. Obviously, this stuff changes daily with guys entering and committing everywhere else. But the guy from Arizona,
Malo.
Yeah,
he already committed to Indiana.
Okay, so there we go. This list didn't even refreshed up, which is kind of a crazy deal. Mitchell from Duke, is he the one that I was talking about? I think he was the one that was looking at.
He committed to Missouri, I believe.
Yeah, with Missouri, which is kind of wild. Yeah. So, yeah, a few of these guys that are in here already found a home. So, point being, I think, like, and I know this, like, I'm saying this, like, semi-sarcastically, but, like, at least Aiden is, like, still one of the best guys in the portal.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that can change. More guys can enter. There's diamonds in the rough. There's guys that are from lower leagues that are super evaluated by coaches that necessarily aren't on these radars that can, like, Dalton Connect, Janai Broom, Chad Baker Mazzara, that can, like, whoa, where was this guy? Oh, okay, they were playing at, you know, Pinecone State University, and now they're averaging 19 points a game in the Big 12, which is always painful to see when it's not on your team. Great when it is.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's why I trust Bruce. But, yeah, I mean, they got a few more pieces to get. But, I mean, with the team right now, really good shape. And I think you really have to say that unless just some crazy miracles happen to some of these other teams, that Auburn would have to be one of the favorites in the SEC.
No question.
Going into the preseason.
Yeah.
And I think
the thing I'll say to wrap up my thoughts on this, you know, discussion about the SEC is if you can't look at an SEC school in basketball right now, and I keep forgetting that we have to now factor in Oklahoma and Texas, which I know.
I didn't even talk about Oklahoma and Texas. Yeah. But, I thought about that before the show and didn't even get there, but.
So I don't know anything about Oklahoma, to be really honest with you. I knew football because we're preparing for that. Basketball, that's another day, but. When it comes to the SEC right now, there is nobody that has had a better offseason than Auburn right now. Yeah. And that could change. That could change. There's teams, like I said, Kentucky and Arkansas don't have a roster. This could change. But right now, there is nobody that's had a better offseason in college hoops. Landon Pegues, holding on to Cardwell, holding on to Broom, holding on to Baker Mazzara. Nobody that's had a better offseason than Auburn to this point when it comes to the SEC. That could change, but at that moment, it would take a lot of convincing to get me to change my mind on that take.
Yeah, Big 12 was really good in basketball last year, probably the best conference. So I do want to kind of put that with a grain of salt. Texas was 9-9 in the conference, and Oklahoma was 8-10. Once again, Big 12 was really good. So
they'll be mid. I think they'll come in and they'll be okay. They'll be fine. They'll be good. They'll be 9-9. In the SEC, something like that.
It won't be for today, but the conversation moving forward definitely will be what it looks like next season, because obviously Auburn is a senior-loaded team. And these other teams that we talked about could get other guys in from the portal, but having players that have played in the system going that are returning is massive.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the biggest advantages here, that a lot of these other teams are like hitting even with Alabama. I mean, you're hitting the reset button. The fact that Auburn is not having to do that, I think, goes a really long way. You're bringing in a few key pieces, but your core guys that have chemistry to each other, know how to play with each other, know the system, know the coaches, the expectations, all the things is there. Because, I mean, you see some of these teams that hit like Arkansas is a perfect example. This past season's Arkansas, they came in with a ton of talent.
Yeah.
You look on paper, and it was a lot of portal guys. You know, Muss would just play roulette with the portal every year. And this was the one where, he had mud on his face from it. And I think you can run into that with the portals. You get too many guys. You don't necessarily – the culture, the chemistry, all those deals. You get prima donnas, hotheads, all the different things you get in there. That is not going to necessarily be the situation you got with Auburn, because these guys know they're bought in. The coaches know what they're doing. You're not having to learn, kind of clash your personalities, things like that. And with Alabama and the Oats, maybe that happens next year. Maybe it happens with – Pope at Kentucky, him getting these new guys. It feels like Cal's bringing a lot of his, so maybe not as much at Arkansas, but he's still going to have to get some portals. So you might have some rebuild years, but the following year, with Golden, with White, and some of these other folks in the SEC basketball, if Chris Beard gets it going at Ole Miss, could be really interesting. And that's going to be tough for Auburn because Auburn's going to lose a lot of these seniors. So hopefully they bolster up with getting some very strong high school commits and portal guys the next season. And maybe they get a young guy or two here with some of these extra scholarships that can be ready to be the heir incumbents for the following season. Because this will be, I don't think we'll be having this conversation as optimistically next year, unfortunately, a year from now. But that's why Auburn has to make a huge statement out and get a huge splash to show everybody, like, hey, we're here. We're still one of the premier dominant programs. And you know what? We reload. We're ready to go. And hopefully they can get it going. There's no guys in the 2025 class so far, high school guys. But fingers crossed they get some big names. So, guys, that's going to wrap us up for this episode, Andrew. Unless you had anything else that you wanted to add on to the subject of where Auburn sits in the SEC.
Nothing, but watch out for AJ DeBansa and Malik Thomas in 2025. I think there's a legitimate chance Auburn lands two top 10 players in the 25 class, including DeBansa, who's the number one overall player. So
I'm gonna tell you what,
that could turn it around.
I'm gonna say right there,
player is how you reload. The number one player in the class is a good way to reload after losing a lot of these pounds.
We'll see if that Nike gear moves the needle for them because they'd be the first team to have it. So
exactly.
The Nike with the AU logo. Well, guys, that's going to wrap us up for the Auburn Daily Show today. Andrew, tell everybody where they can check out everything you've got going on.
Yeah, check out all the writing over at Auburn Daily. Really appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Stefaniak. Appreciate it. Hope everybody has a good rest of your day.
Absolutely, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Auburn Memes. That's where all the nonsense happens. Just getting under the skin of all the fan bases on there. We are just always yucking it up, having a crazy time. For more serious conversation, of course, you can drop a comment on a video to support the show. Check out the website, all the awesome stuff that Andrew and their following writers at auburndaily.com are doing. I guess that's going to wrap us all up. Huge, huge news, guys. Can I emphasize this enough? We'll be back at y'all next week with the hottest happenings dropping there. You guys have a good rest of the day. Thank you all, as always, for checking out and supporting the show.